from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Paul Lancour, in for Rachel Miro. Representative Nancy Pelosi of San Francisco will ask her caucus to continue her role as House Democratic leader. Pelosi made that announcement at a press conference this morning, flanked by the women Democrats of Congress.
My colleagues made it very clear. In fact, I think they must have coordinated with each other because their message was clear. Don't even think of leaving.
Pelosi's announcement ended speculation about what her role might be in the wake of last week's election, in which Republicans retained a majority in the House. Pelosi was first elected to what is now California's 8th District in 1987. She has led the Democratic Party in the House since 2002. Today marks a milestone in California's quest to combat climate change. The state is holding its first cap-and-trade auction, where companies will pay for permission to emit greenhouse gases. Though the state chamber of commerce filed a lawsuit against it yesterday, KQED science reporter Molly Samuel explains the auction is going forward.
The trading part of the state's cap-and-trade program officially kicks off today. The program requires more than 300 California companies to buy a permit, also known as an allowance, for each ton of carbon they emit. The first auction for allowances is this morning, but it won't be the raucous stuff of traditional trading pits.
It's actually much more akin to ordering your Christmas gifts out of an online catalog.
Stanley Young of the California Air Resources Board explains that the event itself is pretty tame. Players will log on to a secure website and enter their bids during a three-hour window. But the result is a big deal.
We are putting a price on carbon.
Companies will have to decide how much emitting greenhouse gases is worth to them. Would they be better off becoming more efficient in reducing their emissions, or should they buy allowances? Not all businesses are happy with the options, even though the Air Board is initially giving away 90% of the allowances. Yesterday, the California Chamber of Commerce filed a lawsuit that claims making companies buy allowances from the state is illegal. Lauren Kay heads a think tank affiliated with the chamber.
All the auction does is raise billions of dollars from private businesses to the government. It has nothing to do with reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
The state could raise $1 billion in the first year of cap and trade. It's required to use the money on carbon reduction projects, and some of it has to go to communities that are hardest hit by pollution, though specifics have yet to be worked out. Jasmine Ansar, an economist with the Union of Concerned Scientists, says the world is watching how California navigates these new waters.
This is a model, and it's an example of how this system can and will work, and therefore that will spur other regions, other states, other countries to follow the lead of California.
Today is the first real test of how it works, but the answer to the biggest question, how much does carbon cost, won't be revealed until next week when the Air Resources Board releases the results of the auction. For the California Report, I'm Molly Samuel.
California State Universities and the University of California have both bowed to pressure from Governor Jerry Brown, and both have postponed plans to raise fees. The CSU board had hoped to vote yesterday on fee increases in an effort to create enrollment slots in its 23 campuses. UC's board had hoped to raise tuition for several degree programs at their meeting today. But the objections of students and urging from the governor were enough to get both boards to back off their plans. Making an appearance at the CSU board meeting yesterday, Governor Brown urged the state's universities to cut costs rather than passing the problem onto students. California educators breathed a sigh of relief last week as the Proposition 30 tax measure for public education won on Election Day. The measure's failure would have triggered about $6 billion in mid-year school cuts. The vote prompted the LA Unified School District yesterday to rescind major cuts to its classroom and employee calendars. From KPCC in Los Angeles, Adolfo Guzman-Lopez reports.
This school year, LA Unified teachers were set to take 10 unpaid days off, and students expected to attend classes 5 fewer days than the standard 180. LA Unified's board voted to restore the instructional calendar to its full length for the first time in 5 years. The teachers' unpaid furlough days will disappear too. Superintendent John Daisy said it made him happy to
finally say to our employees, you work a whole year, you get paid a whole year, and finally say to our students, we need you in school a whole year.
Prop 30 will raise about $6 billion a year for California public education. If it had failed on Election Day, schools would have sustained about the same amount in budget cuts. Statewide, 54% of voters cast yes ballots. In LA County, 60% did. Daisy said the large turnout there meant those votes helped propel Prop 30 to victory.
And I want to thank personally the voters of the state of California, but in particular the voters of Los Angeles, who really carried the measure for the state.
LA Unified and all other school districts in the state are required to budget 3 years out. The district's budget forecast for this year assumed Prop 30 money wouldn't be available and there would have to be major cuts. Now, Daisy said the district will probably tack the restored instructional days onto the end of the school year. LA Unified will release details about the end of furloughs after Thanksgiving. For the California Report, I'm Adolfo Guzman Lopez in Los Angeles.
There's a new head of the state's park system. Governor Brown yesterday appointed retired Marine Corps General Anthony Jackson as director of the California Department of Parks and Recreation. Ruth Coleman resigned from that position after it was revealed that parks employees hid $54 million for over a decade, even as the system faced a budget crisis. Fresno is set to become the first city in the nation to test the idea of using a bond to improve the health of the community. Our Central Valley Bureau reporter Alice Daniel has more.
Municipal bonds allow investors to put money into building roads or constructing schools. Health impact bonds aren't much different, says Kevin Hamilton of the Fresno nonprofit health agency Clinica Sierra Vista. Instead of infrastructure, the investment is in public health, in this case, asthma prevention.
There's no reason to think of the public health in any different way than you do the public transportation system or the public school system. It's just all of which are things that have benefited from bond issues over time. So there's no reason not to think of this in the same fashion.
The California Endowment, which also funds the California Report, is paying for the pilot project developed by a Connecticut firm called Collective Health. The goal is to show that a systematic asthma prevention program can save enough money to entice private investors. One in six Fresno residents suffers from asthma. Hamilton says about 20 asthma patients go to the ER every day, and of those, three are hospitalized.
In this situation, the return on the investment comes from the health insurance companies who make money when people are well and lose money when they're sick. So you have that same sort of incentive to invest.
Starting in January, Clinica Sierra Vista will work with 200 low-income asthma patients on asthma intervention. Studies already show that symptoms are reduced with indoor air filters, clean or removed carpets, and safe cleaning agents like vinegar and baking soda. Cost savings will be documented by public and private insurers, says Hamilton.
It's a way for the health insurance company to continue to make money, survive as an entity, and yet put money back into people's health in a really positive way that has a chance of really changing their lives significantly.
The pilot project hopes to save about $1 million in the first year and cut ER visits by 30%. For the California Report, I'm Alice Daniel in Fresno.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, November 14th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Paul Lancourt. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallas Family Fund for coverage of climate change. Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as preventing network intrusions and data theft by hackers. Barracuda.com.